Welcome back to my Love Letter Time Machine. Hi, I'm Ingrid Betchell Hughes, and I'm serialising the love letters of my great-great-grandparents, Fred Shepherd and Janie Warburton. Travel 140 years back in time with me now, where we take a look at Victorian history through their eyes. And today, we'll find out how they are both coping with being parted once again after Fred's Whitsun visit, and also discover Emma has been stealing something precious from Janie. With Whitsuntide providing Fred the chance to come back to Sheffield from Middlesbrough and visit Janie, I thought I'd take the opportunity to look up some of the history to do with this time of year. No one seems to be particularly sure how Whitsun became the English name for the celebration of Pentecost in the church calendar. Whit could possibly mean white and its associations with purity, or it may mean the kind of wit and wisdom imparted by the Holy Spirit. The first mention of the word in English is found in the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle for 1067 as Whitten Sunnen Dag. It has long been a time for feasts and wakes, fairs and sports days and other celebrations, and in 1871 was finally made into a bank holiday in the UK. I was intrigued to discover that there were quite a few traditions that were associated with the north of England, particularly with Lancashire and South Yorkshire. At Whitsuntide, churches would be festooned with greenery, usually the branches of birch trees, which were poked into the ends of the pews. Sunday schools would participate in the tradition of Whit Walks, assembling their scholars and teachers in parish churchyards and local streets to then parade under their banners in a march. In Sheffield, many of the marches culminated in the town parks, where the throng would join together in the singing of hymns. In 1882, a choir of 12,000 children and 1,500 teachers convened on Norfolk Park, along with at least 50,000 spectators. Similar scenes took place in Firth Park and all around the city and its suburbs. For those that could afford it, it was traditional to give children a gift of new clothes for Whitsuntide, and these would have been worn with pride on the Whit Walks. The Peak District, the southern region of the Pennines that encompasses parts of Derbyshire, Staffordshire and South Yorkshire, has long had a tradition of well-dressing from Whitsuntide until September. Thought to originally have been a pagan tradition to ensure water purity, during the Victorian era, this tradition underwent a great revival. People created living arbours decorated with flowers and moss, berries and seeds, in colourful, natural mosaics, often depicting biblical stories. The tradition survives even today in many parts of the Peak District, although the images can now encompass more secular subjects, such as historical themes and even Disney characters. Whit Monday was usually a day for fairs and feastings, and I've been trying to work out which fair Janie took her little niece and nephews to after saying goodbye to Fred. I think it must have been the fair at the Smithfield Market. This was predominantly livestock-based, and the Sheffield Telegraph focuses much on the price of horses and cattle. But the fair also had all the associated toy and sweet stalls, brass bands and barrel organs, coconut shies and shooting galleries, steam-powered carousels and swing boats to entertain the visitors. You could also gawk at such appalling attractions as the wild, untamable Zulu and the pig-faced lady, which was a bit uncomfortable to read. The main feeling I'm left with here is that Whitsuntide was a massive event that encompassed the entire community to a level that you only really see now in the UK at Christmas time. Trying to piece together what Janie and Fred got up to that Whitsun weekend is the usual challenge, but it would appear that they managed to find a spot of quiet time together because the pair of them are back on their vacillation of hoping and dreading that Janie might be pregnant. But first, we find out how they are doing with their renewed separation after Fred boarded the train back to Middlesbrough once more.
Hello.
Royal Exchange, Middlesbrough, the North Eastern Steel Company Limited, May 31st, 1882. My own darling wife, I arrived all saved here at 2:45 this afternoon. Mr. Cooper asked me if I had spent a pleasant holiday. I said I had, at which he smiled. Pleasant is not the word, darling, is it? Looking back now, it seems to have been heavenly. If you could have been with me, wifey, the journey would have been delightful. The country looked beautiful. As it was, I cultivated a massive headache, which has continued so far. I shall take a Seidlitz powder when I get home, and I should expect it will be better afterwards. Oh, my darling, I shall not see you tonight, but I must not bemoan my hard lot, or I shall only pain you, and I know that the parting was sore enough for you, love, without my adding to it. I am looking forward to Darnall Feast Day, darling, even now. I was alone almost all the way, except that a couple got in, who, I judged, were just about as much in love as you or I, and judging from their talk, were about to be married in August. Happy couple. I cannot write any more just now, darling, except that I love you, my own darling wife, more devotedly than ever, and shall always remain your loving, true, and faithful husband, Fred. Handsworth, June 1st, 1882. My own darling husband, I am very pleased to hear you arrived all safe. I wish I could have journeyed with you. It would have been delightful. I got back to Darnall at 10. The parting from each other is awful, darling. We shall not have many more now. I am sorry you had a headache. I hope the Seidlitz powder would have done you good. I met the children at the Wellington and took them to the fair. The noise and confusion and leaving you brought me the headache. We went up to R. Williams to tea, so I had a rest on the sofa. I felt better after tea. Maria Staniforth came up, so we went back together by the 8 o'clock train to Attercliffe. Darling, you will not see me tonight. I only wish you could, but we won't get downhearted, will we, love? We will try to be brave, though it is so hard to be parted. I do love you, my darling husband. We have had a happy Whitsuntide. It has, as you say, been heavenly. The weeks will soon pass over to Darnall Feast, lover, and then we will have two more glorious days. You would envy the couple in the carriage. I'm sure I do. I wish I could have been with you, then we could have talked about our marriage. You know the scent you bought me, darling? When I looked this morning, just half of it is gone. I thought Emma would never offer to touch it, being as it wasn't opened. But she has. I told her about it before my father. I brought it downstairs and told her she had used it. She said she had used a little up. I kindly told her to go in my drawers again and she would catch it. My father gave her a good blowing up, with not very much effect, I am afraid. I can't keep anything because of her. I shall not have to bear with her many more months, darling, as I will try to think about the better time coming and not let it trouble me. I will write you a longer one tomorrow. It is nearly dinner time now, and Polly Rowe and I are going to Sheffield and to Mrs. Fleer's this afternoon. I love you more than ever. I shall always remain your loving, true, and faithful wife, Janie. I really felt for Janie here. She's the youngest of all her siblings and seems to have not had very much to call her own. As a present from Fred, that bottle of scent would have been treasured, and for Emma to make free with it seems particularly mean, especially as every shilling counted with Janie and Fred, and the money for a bottle of perfume would have been carefully considered on Fred's part. While there were many fashionable perfume houses of the day taking advantage of all the recently discovered synthetic chemicals to make more and more complex fragrances, women lower down the class hierarchy would still have been getting their perfumes from local chemists who made their own preparations on site. Respectable but slightly more affordable brands like Yardley and Colgate were also in existence, and I wonder if this would have been the sort of gift that Fred could have afforded, a little bit more special than a local chemist's own version. Eau de cologne and lavender water were fairly common, but around this time, the most popular scent was violet water. One of Janie's treasured birthday cards has a bunch of violets on it, and so I'm wondering if this could have been a scent she favoured. All conjecture, of course. It wasn't yet the habit then to wear perfume on the skin. You would have instead used it to scent your handkerchiefs or your gloves for a more subtle effect. The fanciest perfume bottles were of cut glass with silver lids, but in Janie's case, the bottle was more likely to have had a glass stopper. If the bottle was unopened, it would have been sealed with a glued paper strip or tied on with a knotted ribbon that would have had to have been snipped off to get into it. Boundaries obviously meant absolutely nothing to Emma. Royal Exchange, Middlesbrough, the North Eastern Steel Company Limited, 2nd of June, 1882. My own darling wife, I received your welcome and loving letter this morning. It had not come at 9 o'clock, so that I had to wait until dinner time, and then I feasted myself on it to my heart's content. My own darling, I don't know what I should do without your kind sympathy and hopeful and brave letters. They do me a world of good. The parting was awful, my wife, but we shall not have many more to come. That is some consolation, my darling, for it is like tearing one's heart away parting from you, my own. We feel so lonely, love, when we are away from each other. It is perhaps better that we should feel it so, darling, for then we realise how much we really are to each other, for we really do love each other so much. The Seydlitz powder did me the power of good, love. I did not work so late, so went to sleep early, and awoke next morning quite refreshed. I am sorry to hear that you were afflicted in the same way, but I was surprised, for it must have been a sore trial for you, my darling, to go amongst the merrymaking in the fair with a heavy heart. I wish you could have rested your weary head on my breast, love. It would have been even better than your William sofa. Oh, my darling, I do miss you so much now, more than ever. I was wishing that I could see you last night, and Wednesday night as well, but it cannot be, love, just yet. We will not, as you say, get downhearted, wifey. I could not do so when you are so brave and hopeful, although I know you feel the parting very acutely. We had such a happy Whitsuntide, love, but I know that it will be just as happy when I come over again. What date will Darnall Feast be on, love? Will it be July the 2nd or July the 9th? If it is July the 9th, it will be splendid, love, if we can only afford it. You see, coming once in 6 weeks means 4 shillings per week in railway fares. But I will economise very severely, and then we shall be able to afford it without feeling the want of it. I am sorry, love, that your Emma could not leave the scent alone. You could not have locked it up. Or has she a duplicate key to your drawer? It is mean of her to do such a thing like that. You must have another lock put on, my darling, if she can open your drawers. She does not seem to have any principles at all, or she would not do it. I thought that after the other blowing up she got, she would have been more careful, but it does not seem to have made any difference to her. But it would not do to let it trouble you, darling, because you will only be troubled with her for 4 more months, love, at the most. And if I was successful the last time, you know, love, we shall have to get married in September. Unless you would care to get married before your feast, which would perhaps be the best plan if you were so, for I should not like anybody to notice anything, love, especially at the feast, for then people are not always on their best behaviour. Did you mention to Polly my suggestion about taking apartments for a week or two, love, after our marriage? I intended asking your William's opinion about it, but it quite skipped my memory. I shall be very pleased to receive your letter tomorrow, my darling. It will be an additional pleasure. I am sorry that our secretary's house is finished, for then I could go down to Redcar. If I go now, it will cut something which in the present state of our finances is not advisable to do. I wish there was a delivery on Sundays at Handsworth, darling, and then I could give you one for Sunday morning, which would perhaps help you to get over the Sunday more pleasantly, wifey, as yours do for me. I don't know how I should get on, if it were not for your Sunday morning's letters, love. I hope you would not have suffered anything from our intercourse, my darling wife. You said you would tell me, and you have not said anything about it in your letter. I suppose it is too soon to tell whether it will come off or not. I feel sure you will give me a good mark for the writing of this letter, love. I remain, now and always, my own darling wife, your loving, true and faithful husband, Fred. Handsworth, June the 2nd, 1882. My own darling husband, Polly Rowe and I went to Sheffield yesterday and met our Polly at Brooks. We had tea there and then went down to Mrs. Fleer's and had our patterns out and got back at 8:10 at Rowe's. I stayed there until 9, then went home, had supper and a time on the piano. I couldn't stop there long, love. I mean in the room, without you. It seems so desolate. We are so happy when together, darling. I was rather tired, so I thought I would go to bed and have a good night's rest. We have to go down there again tonight. I shall be glad when all the running about is over. We have to get them fitted on the second and last time. If you were down that way, love, I don't think I should mind how many times I went. Do you remember how often you used to miss the committee meetings? Not on my account at all, love, was it? I do long for the old times sometimes, darling, but we must look forward to the happy time coming. I know you have gone to enable us to be together sooner, hasn't you, love? So we will both try and make the best of it and not get downhearted. I do wish you could bring me back through the wood tonight, though. It seems harder than ever to be parted. I love you more than ever, my husband, and whatever happens, I shall still love you, just the same. I think it won't come off, love. So don't trouble about it. I don't feel very much afraid. I have not felt any different than from usual. Only 6 more Sundays before the Darnall feast. It will soon pass, and then, darling, I will see you again. They have sent Charles Clegg to the workhouse this morning. Our Polly is coming to tea this afternoon. She is coming by the 4:25 train and going back by 6:40. I shall walk down with her and meet Polly Rowe in Attercliffe. Polly Rowe has gone down there this afternoon. I could not go with her because of our Polly coming. We brought our hats yesterday at Abbey's. I mean, we ordered them. They had one that we took a fancy to, but it was too expensive. So we ordered 2 to be trimmed like that, but of material less expensive. I'm sure you will like mine. I shall have the dress and hat on at Darnall Sports, so you will see it, love. I haven't time for more today, darling. I will give you your usual Sunday's letter. I remain always your loving, true and faithful wife, Jamie. My darling Fred, I hope you will like the tie. It was the nicest I saw in the window, and wear it for your loving and true wife's sake, Janie. P.S. I do love you. Albert Terrace, Linthorpe Road, Middlesbrough, June the 3rd. 1882. My own darling wife, I received your welcome letter this morning for which I thank you. It was very good of you, my darling, to give me so much pleasure on consecutive days. I do love you. I can well understand the room seeming desolate, love, when you think what happy nights we have spent there together, you and I. I do remember, my darling, missing the committee meetings. Not on your account, love, at all. But your society was much more to my taste than the committee men's, and for which society I had to pay. I would gladly do the same again if I had the chance, but that is impossible now. I, like you, my darling, long for the dear old times, but I'm looking forward to even happier times in the future, though I should have liked to have been with you last night, and then we could have had a happy walk through the wood. I am glad that you think you will love me the same, no matter what happens, wifey. I feel sure that even if it does happen, I shall love you even more, for you will want my love then, darling, even more than now, and you may depend on having it. Although I hope for your sake, love, that it will be all right, because I cannot be there to bear the trouble for you, and it is my great desire to spare you as much care and trouble as possible. What have they sent Clegg to the workhouse for, love? Couldn't your father put up with him any longer? I feel sure you will look nice in this new hat and dress, love. I suppose the hat is bound to be nice out of a shop. I shall look forward to seeing you in the Darnall feast, darling. I received the tie, all right, wifey, and feel quite delightful. It is a beauty. I think I really wanted one, but intended leaving it until our marriage, and then no doubt I should be great in a green one or something like that. I thank you very much, darling, and only wish that I could thank you personally, in our usual way. I shall be very pleased to wear it, love, for my true wife's sake, for I would do anything for her. I return the kiss you sent me, my darling. But it is very cold in a letter, isn't it, love? I wish it was morning, my darling, and then I should get a letter from you. It is now after 12, so I shall have to away. I should have gone at 11, but we have no latch key on the door, so had to wait to let Banks in. It has been pouring with rain since 8 o'clock, so I expect he has stopped somewhere to shelter. We were working until after 3 this afternoon, and then we could not get finished, so I brought some work with me, and shall have a go at it tomorrow. It is very wicked, darling, isn't it? I was very much put out this morning at finding that owing to Alvy's and Jarvis's carelessness, we have overpaid a man £2 some weeks ago, and unfortunately he does not work for us now, so we can't stop it back. It always upsets me to have these mistakes, because it makes me feel that I cannot trust them to do anything, and so for the sake of accuracy, I have to do a lot of work that ought to be left to them. Besides, I do not see how I can prevent Mr. Cooper knowing, as I cannot balance the cash book, and it is very humiliating to have to say that we have made a mistake. However, I will go to sleep on it, love. So I will wish you a loving good night. Not in the same manner as last Saturday night, darling. I wish it was. But I shall be able to wish you good nights every night soon, love, so will not repine. I love you, my own darling true wife, more than ever. Continued, Sunday, June the 4th, 1882. My darling, I received your dear loving letter this morning. You are a little darling. I thought I should get a good mark for writing in such a good style. I feel sure you will be a kind, sympathetic, loving little wife, my darling. I expect you will be everything to be desired in a wife, love. I always feel so confident that we shall be happy. I think like you, love, that the last Whitsuntide was the happiest we have spent so far, although they have all been happy. It only wants 5 weeks to Darnall Feast, love, then, from today, and that means only 4 more Sundays away from you, my darling. I shall certainly come, if it is at all possible, love. You'll be able to tell me, my darling, by Darnall Feast, whether I was successful or not, and we can then talk it over about our marriage. I should certainly not like you to suffer any inconvenience, wifey, through my misconduct. I hope you will never think that I do not really love you in placing your good name in jeopardy, darling. I am glad that you mentioned taking apartments to your mother and Polly, and that they agreed with it, love. Did your mother offer any objections, love, or any suggestions about what would really be the best thing to do under the circumstances? You see, we are placed in such exceptional circumstances, being so far away from each other, love. Of course, it would not make much difference to us here, love, what people thought about it in Sheffield. But we might lose Chase a little here, amongst those eminently respectable people at Middlesbrough. It will mean a lot of trouble, love, in any case for you, before we get settled down. I am glad that you have not suffered anything from our intercourse, darling. I have felt very much better this week, but whether it is due to that, or to the change of air, or your loving companionship, I cannot say. I should think both. I shall be very pleased to take the missus out, my darling, when I get her here. I only wish I could do it now. I know it would be most enjoyable for both of us, love. I should think we could manage on £30, love, if your Fred can, for a time at least. When I was down at Saltburn the other week, Phillips said he bought his furniture from the makers and got merchant's commission off. He strongly advised me to do the same. I think I shall get some more information from him about it, with price lists, etc. If we can get a good suite from there at the same price as we should pay for a second-rate one here, we shall not do badly. Of course, he would get the commission off being a merchant, but we should get it at cost price from him, and they would deliver it carriage paid to Middlesbrough. I have put the tie on this morning, love, and it looks very nice, but the pin I have scarcely suits it. That, of course, is not of much consequence, as there are quite as many worn without pins here as with them. I feel so grateful, love, for your kindness. You are always thinking of my comfort, darling. It is much better here today after the rain, and is quite refreshing. It is very nice to be so near the park, love. We shall have to get near as possible to it, darling, for you will not like to be cooped up in a town. But we can settle that afterwards. I shall have to close now, my darling, so will only add what I have told you before, and which you will no doubt be tired of hearing, that I love you, my darling Janie, more than ever, and remain always your loving, true, and faithful husband, Fred. Oh, Fred seems so proud of his tie. I think that must have been the gift that Janie bought after she belatedly remembered his birthday. Fred seems to have forgiven her, but she's back in his bad books next time, when jealousy comes between them. Janie and Fred have a proper bust-up over the company that Janie has been keeping. Thank you so much for listening to my Love Letter Time Machine. I very much like to share Fred and Janie's story with more people. So, if you haven't already, can I ask you to share this podcast with someone you think might enjoy it? You can also find excerpts of Fred and Janie's letters on Instagram at my Love Letter Time Machine, all one word. And you can write to me at my Love Letter Time Machine @gmail.com. Until next time, take care.